Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 248. My name is Andy, and I play Circle and Gilball.
My name is Dan, and I play the Brutality Tree.
And my name is Dave, and I play the Tactics Tree.
Yeah, I play Tactics. Sorry, I should have mentioned that properly. I showed you guys how to Tactics. Double crossbow-o-matic.
Yeah.
Double crossbow-o-matic.
Yeah, double crossbow-o-matic. Yeah.
Actually, I do like having the double crossbow-o-matic along with the heavy turret. The heavy turret that you have, if you have the one of the modifiers on it that will go through enemies, where it pierces enemies, mm-hmm. is really good. Shoots slow, but it hits things like a truck.
Yeah, I found the blueprint for it, but died before I could get back to the collector. Oh. So I don't have the heavy turret. I don't have the heavy turret yet. Oh. Although I keep kind of alternating between tactics and brutality, because every time I do brutality, I will just blaze through levels and then hit something hard and then die because you can't trade hits in the game. And
yeah, yep.
Whereas if you play tactics, you just move a little slower, but everything dies and nothing ever catches a glimpse of you.
Yep. And notice if you go even more tactics into the game too, is for those who don't know, we're talking about Dead Cells. But if you get Hokkaido's bow and the ice bow, both of those have natural negative defense or negative damage taken.
Mm-hmm.
So it works. If you have a high end of those two, you could be running at 20% less damage. And then if you get a good necklace, that's another 10 at the start. And then later on, if you get a better necklace later on, it's usually minus 20.
Yeah, I've gotten minus 20 necklaces.
Yep. So minus 40% damage is pretty good. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. See, my problem is I've been playing too much Mega Man lately, so I keep forgetting I have triggers. So brutality all the way.
So we don't really have much to talk about today, except for more Dead Cells. So if you guys got questions about Dead Cells, we can answer them for you. Our Lord and Savior of Dead Cells.
No, we're talking about action, so we can't be talking about WoW.
I got almost all the pets. There's a lot of pets I have to farm for fucking polished charms now. That's really annoying.
I'm item level 342.
You've been doing a lot of
mythics.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been slugging away at the heroics right now. I'm at, I think, like only at 320. But it's rather annoying when you're slugging away at the heroics and then one person gets a drop that you could possibly use, like a ring or something like that, and the fucker DEs it immediately.
Well, I mean, the trick for that is you try to find people that you know or in the guild and accept being in the guild as a proxy for knowing somebody.
Oh, sure.
And then you get a group that's everyone is wearing the same armor type.
That works.
Yeah, we did that a couple of days ago and had literally 4 plate bracers drop in the same night.
Yeah, I don't have a guild right now where I'm able to do any mythics. Yeah. And plug-in mythics is the worst, so.
Yeah, I think I may be looking for a new guild anyway.
Well, if you need a tank, if I could ever get a fucking tank item to ever drop out of those goddamn dungeons. That was the annoying thing, is so I have yet to have a single weapon drop in any of the new dungeons.
I've got an eye level 350 epic tank main hand, and tank is one of the 3 specs, the one I use the least.
Oh, damn it.
I was literally in a guild group, and I switched my loot specialization to tanking in case it dropped so I could hand it off to someone else. And
sure.
It dropped, and it was Warforged, and it was the highest level item I had. So it was like, well, I guess I'm a tank now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been trying to check out bosses before I go into them and change my loot spec, and
yeah,
it just has not. Sorry, Dan, we're boring you with wild talk.
That's fine. I mean, it happens.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've been changing my loot spec to try to see if I can get either a shield or an offhand tank item. Nothing. No weapon has ever dropped for me in my heroics so far. In fact, I just got one off of the world
quest. And skipping this expansion.
No, it's fine. It's actually not too bad.
This is, I mean, so far, the best expansion.
I've heard good things about it, but the problem is, once again, I don't have the time to actually do the end game stuff, and so it just irritates me that I'm paying $60 for 2 weeks of content.
Yeah.
Before we were talking about WoW, and then we were talking about Dead Cells.
Yeah, I mean, the WoW is just going to be a detour, and then we're going to talk about Dead Cells some more.
Probably.
I don't know. I mean, realistically, you say $60 for 2 weeks of content, because I pre-ordered the expansion so I could play a Tauren with moose antlers. That's really the draw of this expansion.
You're making good points, but I play the same two paladin characters every expansion. So
you could play a druid then, and then all of your druid forms have antlers.
Yeah. The new trolls have dinosaur druid shaped. Of course,
I just could never get
into
it. Have
they unlocked the trolls yet? Or
they're not unlocked yet.
Okay. I saw that they put an advertisement up for the Dark Iron and the Zandalari. Dark Iron and Magar.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Horde and the Alliance each has four new races for the expansion pack. And for the Horde, it's Moose Tauren, Junkie Elves, Orcs with posture and trolls with posture are the four new races.
With proper posture.
With proper posture, yeah. And then on the Alliance side, it's like gray Draenei, some other fucking kind of elf.
The Void Elves. Void Elves, the Lightforged Draenei.
Burning Dwarves and fat humans.
Dark Iron Dwarves. Come on. Dark Iron Dwarves would make me possibly want to play Alliance.
They're cool. And then the best one is that there's a new type of human that is just fat.
Yeah, they're pirates.
I didn't realize pirates had to be fat.
Well, you know,
they're WoW pirates. They're fat.
Yeah,
Somebody's
asking in chat if we're excited for 2077 Cyberpunk.
I need someone to watch that 40-minute video for me and give me the cliff notes, because I just don't have 40 minutes to watch anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's done by CD Projekt Red, so like, I mean, it's
I'm
guaranteed
sure
it's
fine,
gonna be...
but like, give me a shorter trailer to watch. I just don't have 40 minutes to watch.
Yeah,
right now.
I'll probably watch it tomorrow. I'll give you a heads up. Okay. Oh no, not tomorrow. Tuesday. I'll give you a heads
just
up on Tuesday.
Like live tweet it for me.
Yeah, 2077 seems good. I mean, CD Projekt Red, pretty much most of their games have been awesome so far.
Like, conceptually, it seems great.
Yeah.
I will wait until it gets closer to when it's coming out before I get excited about it.
Seems interesting with a first-person shooter style game. All the trailers and stuff that I've seen of it so far don't... I mean, they're all rendered in that, so it doesn't look... like it would work well in that game, but yeah, I haven't seen the trailers for it, I haven't seen the gameplay trailer for it yet.
Somebody asked Dan if he's considered playing WildStar, and I'm going to answer and just say that I hope Dan hasn't considered trying to play WildStar.
I mean, to be honest, I'm reading the Wikipedia right now because I've never heard of it.
Oh, WildStar? Yeah. It's got raccoons. You could be like a raccoon or something in it,
I'm out.
Some kind of fox.
I'm out.
Yeah, WildStar is kind of like a sci-fi cartoony style.
It's a cartoony sci-fi, and one of the characters you can like be a bloodletter.
I want to troll chat and just tell him Gwent for a bad CD Projekt game.
It's not a bad game.
I know it's not.
It's just not in my wheelhouse.
I know.
And but I didn't mean that as a pun.
It does seem the correct answer though.
Yeah. I don't know of a bad CD Projekt Red game.
Yeah,
though.
I don't think there is one.
Been pretty good.
But yeah, I played WildStar for a little bit when it came out just to see if it was any good, because I actually am like one of the people that I like seems to actually enjoy that genre without being addicted to one specific game and playing nothing else. And there's one of the races that's really built more towards melee in character creation. You can make them look a lot like a bloodletter. And then there's this one quest, one racial quest for them where you go in and are like collecting skulls for a throne for their leader. And it's like,
So it's like literally like a bloodletter with the double horns and the chaos fail blade and...
Yeah, if you get a pole arm and you set it up right, you can look an awful lot like a bloodletter, and then you have to go collecting skulls for them.
Interesting. Well, very cool. Oh man, it's been a crazy week. I got my circle.
Nice.
I was able to trade somebody local for circle, so now I don't have to worry about it. And unfortunately, that was about 2 hours after I put in an order for two new mystery boxes.
Well, I've got two mystery boxes coming, so.
But they haven't shipped yet.
Yeah, mine hasn't shipped yet either. I'm hoping that my next mystery boxes will be Retribution and Kador, or at least those are the two that I would like to get.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently the photographs that have been released for the Kador box are apparently fakes. There's at least one more round of boxes coming out, so who knows? I'm looking mostly for Protectorate and Kador as well.
Yeah, I kind of want to circle one just because my wife wants a Storm Raptor, and part of me wants to jump on the Scorn box just because it might make the Scorn lot I already have easier to move.
That's true. I mean, you have a Desert Hydra and mm-hmm. and at least another Titan in there. So.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with the Scorn box is that the huge base it has isn't a Siege Turtle.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Desert Hydra is very cool. Unfortunately, it's got the Chinese manufacturing issue.
Yeah.
That I'm willing to bet you that what happened with that thing is they probably got like three different proofs from them after they rebuilt that mold. And they finally got to the point where we spent too much money.
Well, they had to ship it. Yeah.
And we just have to get this out. I mean,
it's the
now.
Same thing that happened with the first run of Convergence stuff at Lock and Load. Because that was, from what I understand, a very late item off the boat. And they were like, we would reject this, but we've already publicly announced that we're going to have this for sale.
It. Yeah.
So we have to sell them.
And you can't open up all the boxes to master which ones are good, which ones are bad.
Correct.
Mold.
Yep.
Yeah, from my understanding of that, too, is that they put all the plastic pieces into one single mold. And so when you have things that are varying widths and depths in that, they cool separately.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the bigger chunks.
Well, and not only that, are you talking the hard plastic or the soft plastic?
Hard plastic.
Yeah, so. I mean, the other problem is those hard plastic molds, if you're doing like a Desert Hydra all in one plate, that's a $150,000 plate, so you can't just retool it.
Correct. Yay.
Mm-hmm. In other Privateer Press news, on Friday they announced that No Quarter is is ending publication.
Yeah, was it really just a year ago that they announced that No Quarter Prime was going to exist?
Yep, six issues.
Yeah, it seems
meh.
Well, yeah, I guess I haven't bought anything from No Quarter in a while.
Prime was good, but I get where they're going with it, where it's just doing a print publication for a niche game is really hard, mm-hmm. especially when they chose explicitly to not be GW and it's not, you know, it's not advertising of any sort. Like the GW ones have a lot of new product information and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and where this does not have that. So it's even harder to tie this back to a bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not, I mean, they're showing articles about like when the CID release rules are released, mm-hmm. but you know, that's
honestly everything they've put in there lately, with the possible exception of the command book type things, is real easy blog post type things.
Sure.
And I hope they keep doing the command book type stuff as online content as well. But that's the only thing that doesn't like neatly fit into an insider.
Yeah, I kind of wish that what they would do is they would retool their website.
Yeah, I was going to say they really need to like to have like a website that doesn't look like it's 15 years old.
I mean, the website is 15 years old.
Okay. I find the way the website looks, but right now, if you're gonna go and look for an insider, you can't look for
an
insider.
There's some structural problems with it. Like
that's the big
Flash.
Thing. Flash for all the 360 views.
Yeah, that you have to go through several. The finding the list of insiders is dumb.
Yeah.
The fact that it still has Flash is really dumb.
I mean, you have to click multiple times to find anything.
Yeah.
Oh, my chili's so good.
I mean, it's no green pork chili, but it was very good.
Well, I have not had green pork chili.
I will have to. Next time I make some, I will make some.
I will.
What is green pork chili?
It's you have pork and you have green chili peppers in it, and it's very, very
okay.
Good.
Yeah, I know that some of the Texans and such, or some people may frown upon my chili because my chili has beans in it.
Oh, I don't have problems
with
that.
That's fine.
But
chili's supposed to have beans in it.
Not if you're from Texas.
If we had any listeners right now from Texas that heard that I had beans in my chili, they would be clicking off right now.
Oh.
That's fine. They would have to drive up here, and then you know there would be like green stuff and
yeah. So
and water.
So it's sad that No Quarter Prime is gone.
Yeah. I mean, but has anyone in this room actually bought a no quarter prime?
Oh, I had a
not counting. Oh, okay.
I think I bought the first couple.
Mm-hmm. I regret not buying the first one because it came with a model that's currently the only way to get it.
Oh yeah. So I did buy the first one because I have an Eilish downstairs.
No, all the content they had in there was nice. I mean, I don't regret paying for that subscription, but it was kind of telling when they pulled the subscription panel back in March. Like, you couldn't sign up for new subscriptions back then. So,
Okay. So they're probably refunding folks that signed up back then, too. Okay. Yeah, you know,
I mean, it's how the industry's going.
Yep. But I just hope it, they make it so the content is much easier to find.
Because,
mm-hmm. like I said, it's
I mean,
it's
they were hiring for a new web developer person a few months ago, so.
That's true. One of their staff painters just left.
That is also true.
Yep. Sucks. So I saw that they posted they're looking for a new painter, and I didn't see who was actually leaving until. So, yeah, Brendan Roy, unfortunately, is no longer with them. I was hoping to hang out with him at War Machine Weekend. Last year was awesome with him.
I mean, he might still be there.
Yeah.
Possibly, but who knows if he's going to stick around with painting War Machine. It doesn't sound like it was like a bad split up at all. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, last year when he was at ATC, it was fun hanging out with him. So,
yeah. I forgot we do that. When is this year's ATC?
This year's ATC is, I believe, I'm on the committee for the 20th. I should know, is it the 25th and 26th of January?
Like, both of us are on the committee for this, too.
So I mean, I write the rules packet. I have no excuse. 26th and 27th, there we go, of January 2019. The rules should be going up on the website any day now.
Are we going to be able to find them right away?
Yes. Unlike WITC, the website is optimized for ATC information. And, I mean, optimized is a loose term, but...
Yeah.
So, that should be going up soon. Schedule is set, and, yeah, we'll start getting sign-ups going.
Yeah, and I'm after the WCC hits, I'm going to start recruiting for Team Conflict Chamber. My goal is to put together a team with the goal to win it, and I'll play the alternate.
So you're going to have your Conflict Chamber team?
Yeah.
Nice.
That is the goal.
Well, I'm not going to be on that team because I'm not going to win it. Who knows? I might be good with Circle by then. I thought I did pretty decent in my first time out with them. I clocked myself once.
There you go. I say, yeah, my ATC goal this year is either to cause no judge drama or to cause all the judge drama. One of the two.
Well, see, what you need to do is
I need to either be perfectly fine or completely infamous.
Oh.
Nothing in the middle.
Yeah, I had my own part of judge drama there. I'm glad I wasn't part of that judge drama.
Yeah,
which we won't speak of again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I've just kind of gotten used to that because I love throw bullshit, and every time I try to do throw bullshit, somebody's like, can I call a judge? And I was like, sure, go ahead.
I have learned the throw rules much better. Like, I can actually explain them now, and I've started using them. Like, it turns out a suppressor makes you learn all sorts of power attacks.
Yeah.
I actually, a few weeks ago, I beat Nick's Haley 3 list by throwing a jack onto Haley 3.
Yeah.
Oh, Haley 3? Oh. I thought you killed the dog or killed...
I had already killed the dog, but it was one of those things where I was about to lose, but as, you know, it was the end of the game, and Nick dominated a jack in the wrong direction, so I was still in control, so I picked up and one-handed threw something onto Haley Prime, knocked her over, and one-shot her then with the Vindicator shot.
Yep.
Nice. I have yet to play against Crucible Guard. I think I should...
I can arrange that.
I'd rather not play against them.
No, I mean,
I do honestly, well at first experiences.
I mean, they're fine compared to like Grimkin and stuff. They are just
Fine until the Railless box comes out, because I am not sure that McKay is fine.
It's fine.
You don't sound
convinced.
You
justified that $250 purchase.
I mean, it's going to be $375, but. Like, I need to start putting money aside for War Machine Weekend right now, because I got to drop like $400 in the vendor hole.
Yeah, that's a thing. And Jim's asking in chat if I had a chance to play against Falconers yet. This is the wrong podcast for that.
Also, aren't they all horrendously miscast?
No, no, just one's got a derp. which leads me to, well, Dan knows about it, David doesn't. So Steamforged, they got their models from China for the new Hunters. And unfortunately, one of those models didn't fit in the mold properly. And so she's got kind of like, she looks a little like Voldemort.
Okay.
She's gotten like no nose. She's missing some features on her face. It doesn't look very good.
All right. Actually, do you have to send that model back?
I don't have to send the model back.
Can I see it?
Sure.
I might actually want that model.
Okay.
That sounds like a fun painting thing to do.
But unfortunately, so there's a lot of flack that Steamforge was getting for that model. And so they had a way that you can return it. But the hoops that you have to jump through to return that or not to get a new model is insane. Number one, you have to have a receipt of when you bought the model.
Wah, wah.
You have to have the box set, which makes sense because it's the box. And you have to have a picture that shows the receipt, the model, and all the rest of the models.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So for me, I had pre-ordered the model back in, or the box set, I think in May, in which then I got the box set after it was delayed for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Near the end of August. And how am I supposed to have that receipt still?
But Andy, don't you save all your receipts for tax purposes?
What?
Exactly.
Are you supposed to save your receipts for purchases?
Only if someone else is paying for them.
Yeah, nobody else is paying for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was breaking the tax law or something.
No. Only if you're traveling for business and someone else is paying, then you have to save all your receipts. It's annoying.
My business of buying Guild Ball teams is my own. But yeah, so I was able to contact Pegasus and they were able to get a copy of the receipt there. So I should be getting my proper Minerva. But I haven't played him since. Minerva is the model that got miscast.
See, if you want to be irritated at Steamforge, you should be irritated at their Horizon Kickstarter because they're doing another Kickstarter for a board game.
Horizon?
Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yes. That one got announced too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Despite them still having three others that they need to ship for. But.
Two.
Is it two now?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, was it? What I want to say, Dead Cells.
It's Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. That's it. Dark Souls got shipped, I think.
Not all of it shipped,
but it took. It took
Wave 3 still hasn't shipped as at least of recent.
I backed Resident Evil, like over a year ago. So as kind of like one of the prizes at SteamCon, I ended up getting chosen to get a free copy of the Kickstarter for Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. It was like the grand prize there. So that was my big thing. Except for it didn't include any of the extras, so I had to pay for those separately, which is fine. It was a game I was not planning on backing, but I ended up forking out some extra money for some of the backup stuff. All I get is just consistent updates on it. I have yet to hear anything about when it's going to be out.
Yep. Welcome to Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I'd be less annoyed if I didn't like really, really want that giant Minerva jaw model from the Horizon board game. I care not at all about the board game, but I just
did they start that Kickstarter or was it like a week long thing?
They just no, I think they just announced it. I'm assuming they haven't even started it yet.
Okay. Oh, no, I think they announced it at Gen Con.
Gen Con.
That's what it was.
Yep.
It looks nice. I mean,
the models look fine.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't care about the board game whatsoever. I just want the models.
Yeah.
Like, the best case scenario would be if they made a model-only option.
I did back, it's mostly Steamforged folks. Charles Agle and I think the sculptor for it that does a lot of their stuff made up the doggies, D&D doggies.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
Yep.
I've never actually used Kickstarter, so.
Never used Kickstarter?
No.
It's not bad when you have games that actually come out. You have companies that need it.
Yeah, I have a bunch of cool RPG stuff that I got from them. I am from smaller Kickstarters. Actually, I've been pretty good. I've only had one thing fail the ship, and that's actually because the guy died.
Oh, well, that sucks.
But, I mean, otherwise, I'm on a really good track record. Well, I guess in tactics, but...
My very first Kickstarter, I've yet to get anything for. Because it is that's the Camelot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Camelot Forever or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is basically the guys who originally designed Dark Age of Camelot. They have their own game that they're
making. It was the guy that ran the company, and a lot of the he doesn't
Jacobs.
Have. Yeah, that's Jacobs.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the guy that. Yeah, he was a corporate guy more than a design guy.
Oh, okay.
A good friend of mine worked under him and did not back the Kickstarter, shall we say?
Sure, understandable. I mean, I get notifications about it a lot now. It looks like they're progressing through beta and that. So
yeah.
But the game was supposed to deliver, I think, like 2015. So
yep. Casual 3 years late.
Yeah. My Oblivion took forever for Sentinels of the Multiverse. Oh, I got a horrible story for Oblivion. Kind of funny story. Kind of a miracle happened. So Oblivion is Sentinels of the Multiverse. Have you guys played it? Or have you guys played I've Sentinels?
I've seen it.
I'm aware okay. of it.
But anyway, so there's a deck of cards that came with Oblivion that was all the characters that came out in Oblivion. As I was cleaning up all the cardboard boxes, I noticed it was at the bottom of the big box I got, so I set it on my car. And then I packed up all my boxes, threw them away, and then Jim came over. And the first thing we usually do is we go get food. So we got into my car, drove over to Culver's.
Whee!
Got our food. Drove back, sitting there watching the last two episodes of Westworld, and then I suddenly just have a panic go in my head. I'm like, fuck, that deck of cards was on my car. I go up to my car, it was still there.
That's impressive.
Which yeah. is impressive, yeah. It probably means I have to clean my car because it's probably really sticky, but no, it survived, and I was...
Leave it outside. I mean, apparently we live in a rainforest now.
Yeah. We do. We have flood watches all over Wisconsin. Shit is flooding already here again. Yeah.
Perpetual flood watch.
Yep.
It's like shitty Circle Christmas.
Circle Christmas is fine. The CID, we could talk about the CID. That just dropped.
Yeah. I still need to finish reading through all the new rules.
I haven't really paid attention. So
the joys of business travel. It turns out I had other things to do this week.
Oh. Out of all the things that involved with Circle, the thing I have the least care about is Thar. So I guess I'm not a good Circle player because I cared about everything that was stone and wood. I like that stuff. I don't care about Tharn.
Well, the stone and wood stuff is already good. So yeah. the Tharn needs some help. They got a lot of it though.
I saw a lot of. I mean, like my big things were the points. Points cost lowering for a lot of the beasts, adding mm-hmm. Pathfinder to all the beasts, which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, everything in there seems good so far, but, I mean, we're a year and a half into CID. I think by now most reasonable people have figured out that you shouldn't even get emotions up until week two.
Yeah.
Because week one, there's a bunch of shit they just throw at the wall to see if it sticks, and there's a bunch of tweaks and stuff, and I'm curious to see what changes in week two.
I mean, yeah, so far, I mean, my primary concern right now is that I think Iona is probably both a little too good on heavily forested tables, and at the same time has too much of a power swing between heavily forested and forested tables and tables without forests, mm-hmm. because Elite Cadre Tharn Dodge is really good when you have a spell that gives +2 defense. And so you can
get 17.
You can get Tharn Ravagers up to 17 defense and up to 17 defense in a forest and
with tough, no knockdown.
Yeah, with tough. the spell, I mean, they have tough natively. The spell gives them no knockdown and +2 defense. Their arm 15 rapid healing, which is effectively immune to all but the most serious blast damage.
Don't they have two versions of blood magic too, or was it?
Heart Eater. In the document they have two.
I mean, that's the other thing. There's the usual traditional typos and stuff of that nature. They actually did name two different things this one, two instances of two things sharing the same name. So there's a few things getting fixed that way.
But I think
getting... The two-man unit still needs work. That one's weird, if I remember right.
Yeah, I'm
there's
actually...
one other thing that was still, like, borderline mechanically problematic.
Yeah. Call, the guy in the two-man unit, is probably over the top. But
doesn't he lose, like, half of his stuff when the other one dies, though?
Well, I mean, it's 8 point for the units, and on Iona's feet, he will solo Kador heavy.
Well, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you kill one of them, he loses access to prey and gang, so he's not nearly as scary. But it's just he is on feet turn. He's PS 20.
Yeah, seems good.
Yeah, he's a 13 normally.
I do like all the people complaining that they no longer can take the Death Wolves, and I'm like, please keep not taking the Death Wolves. Makes me happy because I like actually being able to kill models.
One of the few models I don't own.
Yeah, they're so annoying.
But
you shouldn't need to hit small base infantry 5 times with a jack to kill one model. I'm not bitter,
but I kind of think if I were in charge of design, I would drop Surefoot off of Iona and give her either a custom spell that triggers allows her to trigger Tree Walker on Urtharn, or just Rapid Growth so she can put a forest on the table. Because I think dodge is a vastly underestimated ability, because it is extremely difficult to play into. And when you have a def 17 steady tough model that you can't kill with blast, and that you basically can't kill with blast damage, it's a lot. A lot to deal with, and just the dodge is so strong in that situation, because you need to put a lot of really high quality attacks, both on accuracy and power, to do anything with it. And if you miss, the other guy gets to move his model during your turn, which is really bad.
And if you hit, they still probably get the move.
You could tap it over during that. When you're resolving effects on your models,
it's still mid activation moves, which are awful.
Yeah. Well, it's an annoying tap over there.
Oh no! I mean, I don't mean in the sense of mechanics. I mean,
he's talking flow.
Yeah, well, not even flow. I mean, this is very easy to completely screw up somebody's plan if you can make moves during their turn.
Oh, sure. And you can move them in the way of another charge or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, you can use it.
So to answer a chat question, Jim was asking why people can't take the Death Wolves. It's kind of funny. They lowered all the points of Warp Wolves, so now for a lot of Circle Casters, if they want to take more than min battle group, they can't take much non-Tharn models. And turns out Death Wolves are Wolves of Ouroboros models, or Wolf Swarm models, not Tharn models. So
yeah.
So you can't have more than min battle group and the Death Wolves and 60 points for 3 free solos.
It would not surprise me if the Death Wolves get added to Devourer's Host, as stuff that qualifies for free stuff in the theme.
I don't think so. They're very thematically only loosely coupled with the Tharn theme.
Yeah, but just from a design perspective, it's weird that
this is going to be a fluff Trump's efficiency thing.
That may be the thing, but then at the same time, why are they mentioned by name as being allowed in the theme?
Because they are explicitly Tharn worshipping Wolfsworn. So
then why don't they count for freebies if they're closely affiliated?
Devourer Worm worshipping.
Well, it's not the Tharn host, it's the Devourer's Host.
I know, but like I said, this is one of those things that I think they've actually even clarified that it's intentional at this point.
Okay. No, I mean, if that's intentional, it's one thing. It wouldn't surprise me if that gets changed. Mm-hmm. Jim was saying, so take one less solo, the Death Wolves are better than the solos, right?
Shush.
Turns out the other thing that Devourer's Host has is can... Okay.
Are you okay, Andy?
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine.
Please don't die on us, Andy. I don't know how to stop the Twitch feed.
just see me slowly slump, hit the microphone, hit the table.
I mean, I'll just walk out and start looting. Actually, you need to die slowly so I can make sure I grab your stuff and not your roommate's stuff.
It's pretty easy. Just if it's War Machine, it's mine.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I can loot.
War Machine or Hordes.
Yep.
Now, the other issue in Devourer's Host now, it pretty clearly has the best third free solo you take. Because, I mean, Defenders of Ios may be better because you can take Iris 1 and Scarith Issyon is free, but then your next model is like a 4-point solo.
Scarith is free in that?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, he's not Scarith.
I guess I don't play with Defenders that much, yeah. So.
Well, no, I mean, you take Scarith in every Defenders list because he's probably not worth 8 points by himself, but he's definitely worth free. Mm-hmm. That, as it turns out, Devourer's Host has lots of solo options, but two of them are particularly important. One of them is the Lord of the Feast, who is quite good now. And the other one is the Wolf Rider Champion that is a 7-point solo that's worth 7 points.
I would not be shocked if she loses Brakstab.
Yeah, I would not be. I would not be surprised at all if she loses something because
it was really interesting reading several battle reports this week where people are like, "I thought backstab on the wolves would be okay." Then I saw what the champion can do, and it would not be okay on the
edge. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think that the death wolves are great, but I don't want to lose the extra free Wolf Rider Champion because they are just insanely good. They're fast. They're fast. They have prowl built in,
and you can kill them.
Is that a new model?
It's newer. I think it came out on the edition flip.
Yeah. Okay. It was one of the things that came out right when Mark III did, but nobody ever played it because it was bad.
Yes, that's the joke, Jim. The Death Wolves are better, but because they give the list something that you don't have otherwise, which is an anvil.
Ravagers under Surefoot are pretty effective.
The Ravagers under Surefoot seems pretty.
I guess I'm biased because I'm playing a Purification caster, but Ravagers. Fair enough. Yeah. Ravagers die to Crucible Guard. Death Wolves still take 4 hits each.
Yeah.
Even under Purification, they're still defense 15.
Okay, whatever.
Oh wait, I forgot your army doesn't care about defense.
Well, the champions were okay back then, but they just at the point value they were rarely taken. Now they are much, much better and free in theme.
And cheaper regardless.
Yeah.
I think they went down a point too.
They're 7 now, were they 8 before? I thought they were 6 before.
Maybe.
I don't know.
For which champion or what?
The Tharn Wolf Rider champion. What are they now? I know they're 7 in CID, I don't know what they are. But they are ridiculous now. I mean, it's just like you take two of them, and basically the other guy doesn't get to have support solos that survive. Okay, yeah, they got cheaper.
Sweet. How much were they? Oh, so they were 8.
Okay. They were 8. They came down to 7.
Yep.
Sexy. Is Morai even worth taking?
He's a Wolfsworn.
He's a Wolfsworn. Okay. His
time has not yet come.
We're going to have to wait another 2 years for the Wolfsworn CID.
That's actually the part of Circle I do play. Is I play Wolfsworn and play with Bones and Sticks. Mm-hmm. Wait, Sticks and Bones? And Rocks.
Yeah.
Jim, you are now coming to... Jim is mentioning in chat that he doesn't understand Circle players now. I go back to my previously stated thesis that the internet social media zeitgeist and stereotypical player is like completely idiotic and needs mental help. I think is the
every card. Faction that
every yeah, faction yeah, has that
every faction has got that where somebody online has got a specific way of playing, and then everybody latches onto it and thinks that that's the only way to ever play.
Yeah, my favorite is I've gotten into arguments with people telling me that Irusk 2 Legion of Steel is bad.
Are they retarded?
I don't know. I mean, my comment was, and it's like your argument basically boils down to either I'm so amazing with this list because I literally have not lost with Irusk 2 Legion of Steel since Adepticon, and that includes 4 games against WTC players. So I mean, I'm on an amazing winning streak with this. So
we're just incredibly lucky.
Yeah, well,
I mean, even then, a Rusk 2 cannot be bad. He does too much hard math fixing.
Yeah,
he can be meta dependent.
I mean,
yeah, he can meta dependent is the worst he can get. But I mean, it's like the argument boils down to either I am just so amazing with this list that I can do wonderful things with it, but I'm yet not good enough to recognize that it sucks. And I don't buy that. I mean, I fully admit that I have gotten lucky with this, sure, with the list, and a lot of it is pairing dependence, and a lot of it is in team events, because when I beat Matt McWaters at the Wisconsin team championship, the primary reason I won that game was because Keith dropped me on the table that had a big ass forest in the center of the board, mm-hmm, and that is what Eros 2 loves. But
you just can't behind it, and you can't get to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's like Martial Legion, when one side has train and the other side doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like with my Crucible Guard. Every time I see a cloud, I'm like, sweet.
But yeah, I mean that was it. Very few people seem to respect Eros 2 Legion, and I have done great things with it, and I have to argue with people that it's playable.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's you know, why we get into arguments online is because
we're bored.
But I've argued with I have argued with Retribution players that think the Arcantric Force Generator is unexciting.
I don't even play Circle, and that's
unexciting. I will agree that it's unexciting. It's for demonstrably you. Good, yeah. But it's boring as all hell. It walks forward into the recon zone and doesn't move.
Yeah, it just blows exciting and knocks down shit everywhere.
No, unexciting is the wrong word. I have argued with people that it wasn't very good.
All right,
the best one was somebody was saying there is no reason to ever take two of them.
I will say though, I do agree with David. I have never heard anybody who is playing Retribution and went, "Woo, Arcantric Force Generator, knock something down."
I mean, when you make yours into a chicken walker, it's more fun.
It is very cool. Yeah,
I'm pretty excited about mine. They make me happy.
Well, that's because you're a statistician.
I've never heard you be excited about them.
So what War Machine stuff have I been excited about?
Clouds and Kador.
I do like clouds.
Big numbers.
Big numbers. Big data. I play Stats Machine. I enjoy playing Stats Machine. That's one of the reasons why I like the Tharn so much. And I look at this and it's like this is a complicated statistical distribution for people to deal with. I am going to enjoy this.
Feet with any. Although it is funny playing against Denny with Crucible Guard. I've had multiple games where I've been able to debuff my way out of her feet in every aspect of it. It's like, oh, you made me -2 speed, -2 strength, and -2 mat. Well, ice cage, super fuel, transmutation, I'm back to even. And it turns out a lot of people don't remember how to play Denny when not feet turn.
When she doesn't mm-hmm. just like literally wither the opponent's army.
Correct. Well, and people are still learning that I have to remind myself just how much people crutched on the no charge or special attacks part of her feet before too.
Yeah. No. That's gone. That's been long gone since Mark III, isn't it?
No, that was a January change.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, it's just one of those things that, you know, that is a massive. I think I actually have not yet lost to Denny since that change because I've been able to trample Jax onto her on feet turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her control range only 14 is mm-hmm. it's one thing.
Well, I mean, the only 14 is when you have the -2 speed built into that. That 14 is. Yeah. She can play more aggressive than otherwise because of the -2 speed in it. Mm-hmm. But still, when you have something like Vlad 2 Demo Core that can threaten 17 inches, it works out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, we're talkative today. Holy cow. We could talk more about Dead Cells.
I mean, I could talk about all the food I ate. So I was in Chicago for work all week.
Yeah.
Like right downtown in Chicago.
Okay.
So, you know. Got to eat at like Peruvian places and a really fancy ass steakhouse that someone else was paying for. So I got to eat some Wagyu beef.
Which steakhouse?
RPM.
Yeah. That is basically the best steak in the world is when somebody else is paying for it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way I was going to buy a $100 steak otherwise. Yeah. Like Wagyu was good, but I honestly would prefer a steak that didn't have to be cooked on an infrared grill because I get why they didn't like use an actual wood fire on that particular cut of beef.
Cause, sure.
You know, it's far too, you know, tender and refined of a piece of meat to do that, but it was boring. It's probably the best way to describe it. It was technically very good, but it was just boring.
Yeah.
probably not worth the price. I mean, well, I mean, worth the price if somebody else is paying, but probably not worth the price. Mm-hmm. Like, rather go down.
Like, and, yeah, you know, it, that was a good place for the let's impress our clients dinner kind of thing. Sure. But, you know,
How would you compare it to a Chili's steak?
I mean, like I said, it was demonstrably better, but we could have fed a family of four for what that steak cost, and that was just a steak. So
you could add probably four chili steaks.
Oh, easily.
That would have been great.
Well, like I said, it was a $90 steak, and that was the steak by itself with no sides or anything.
Yep.
If you can't tell, I love Chili's. It's a great place.
You know, it's not the greatest, but it's surprisingly consistent.
Yeah.
And they don't change their menu every 3 months.
No.
I was going to say, if you want a chain place that has good steaks, I prefer Texas Roadhouse.
Sure. Jim and I sometimes go out to Chili's, mm-hmm. and there is a waiter that actually knows us. the scary part is, I may have mentioned this on the podcast a long time ago, but we went one time there. It was just an incredibly nice waiter. We came back 3 months later, sat down, and he still remembered what drinks I had and what drinks Jim had.
This is in one of your blind Russian places.
No. This is
like an Andy has to drive afterwards type.
Yeah, this is my Fanta Zero peach. I don't know if that's exactly that strange of a drink, but yeah, he knew the drinks. He knew us still.
Good waiter.
Go there. Yeah, he's fucking amazing. I will, if he ever leaves Chili's, I will follow him to whatever restaurant he goes and waits at, because he's that good of a server. So I suppose we should probably just jump into the Zappity Grumbles then.
Zap me.
All right. What we got?
We had two of them. Jim asks, what is a movie or a movie concept that has been done and failed that you would like to see executed properly? I didn't actually read this beforehand, but I know of a quick, easy one, The Dark Tower. I mean, that movie failed.
I mean, isn't basically Blank by Stephen King, other than a few?
There's a few exceptions to Stephen King's, but yeah, pretty much most of Stephen King's books are shit.
Well, it turns out when you write a 900-page book, it doesn't turn into a good movie.
Yeah. Like, Under the Dome was actually not that bad of a first season. Until they got halfway through the season, they're like, wow, rating's good. Let's make more. Like, but Steven didn't write anything more. Oh, no.
Ooh, it's a lamp monster this time.
Oh, my God. Seasons 2 and 3 of... The ending of Under the Dome and seasons 2 and 3 of Under the Dome are not very good. But I think the Dark Tower. I've heard people talk about it being... Just talk about it being really good. And... from what I've heard of the film, I've never seen the film yet, but it just failed on almost all accounts. So yeah, basically anything done by Stephen King. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, Dune is the other correct answer.
That's what I was going.
But I'm trying to think of something else.
I was going to say. I mean, Dune by David Lynch was fine, but it was just.
It's not Dune.
Dune. Yeah. I would like to see a movie version of Dune that's actually Dune and isn't.
There's
bad.
Hope for the new one.
Because I mean,
it's a series, isn't it?
I mean, Sci-Fi did the miniseries, but it was bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of people liked it. I didn't.
It was better in some ways and worse in others.
Yeah, it was just the costuming was too ridiculous for me.
I mean, well, that's just about anything from late night, early 2000s sci-fi.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think what else would be a good...
I know one Jim would like. Starship Troopers.
That would be another one. Although, I mean, the political climate might actually be right for that to come back and actually work. Like, I do kind of get why when they made the Starship Trooper movie, they didn't follow the book, because at the time it would not have actually applied to anything. And
it wouldn't have done well. I don't think they were, even though the special effects still stand up to now, though. Mm.
But I mean, I think if they made that movie now, I think there would be a lot more stuff you could tie into and.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, that was pre-Iraq War and stuff like that, too. So, I mean...
That was during.
Was it during? I thought it was, like, 99.
Starship Troopers? No. No, that was...
I'm on it.
No, the Iraq War... Well, the Iraq War was in 1994.
Well, so Iraq 1 was 91. Iraq 2...
Yes. Electric Boogaloo.
Yep.
Well, and that's still technically going.
Yeah.
Kind of-ish.
Starship Troopers number 1, 1997.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was before the current Iraq War.
Hmm. Correct. Correct.
The one that was not a 30-day excursion.
What? You just drive our tanks straight to them.
I mean, it worked the first time.
It did work the first time.
Yeah.
And we weren't supposed to be there the second time, but correct. You know, that's and another also, subject.
Correct. So I guess that's a concept I want to see. Well, I don't want to see that one done better, but it didn't turn out. I guess it wasn't a movie either.
The other one I would like to see, too, is it is another Stephen King thing, though, but I'd like to see a fully redone Running Man. I'd love to see it as like a little mini series. I don't know if they could do it because of the ending. I don't know if you guys know of the ending for the Running Man.
No.
I don't know if it's too soon and all, but
didn't that movie and book come out in the 80s?
Yeah, the book came out in the 80s. It was a Richard Bachman book. Came out as like a four-parter with Rage, which is basically a school shooting.
Oh, it's that book.
Yeah, it is. Rage, The Running Man, and something else. But The Running Man basically ends with the protagonist flying a plane into the ICS building, flipping the TV show guy, the host, the finger.
I mean, there are people who are going to vote this fall who have not, and we're not alive. Actually, oh no, that'll be next year.
They weren't alive during. No, and you know, eventually that come to a point, but the overall storyline that happened in The Running Man is really cool.
Not South just Park the Arnold 23 film. Years. I thought it was 18.
Hmm?
South Park actually answered this as when is it no longer too soon, and I want to say it was 23 years, but.
Speaking of what young people could do, I do have a story to tell. So,
but what's your? We'll go back to your story. But what's your movie?
Dune.
Oh yeah, Dune. Okay, all right.
Yeah, so I was at the IT shop at the CS building on campus.
Is this a millennial?
No, this is actually the gen after millennials. Yeah. We're coming out of the millennial era.
Oh no, we're not.
So. I was at the tech shop because I needed to get a cable because I'm in academia, and as it turns out, never having exactly the right cable is like the essence of academic life.
I mean, that's just a human condition.
Yeah.
Don't you have a box of cables at home?
It's still wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just don't. I mean, because it's like you don't know how many different ways there are to connect the projector to your laptop to give a talk. And I swear you would think there would be a finite number of them, but I'm pretty sure it's not. But anyway.
Just get a Mac. Everything's a USB-C. Everything.
But so I'm down at the tech shop because I need a cable. And I overhear the conversation that there are two freshmen moving on to campus are having with the guy at the tech shop. And they say, oh, well, we need an Ethernet cable because we need to connect our computers to the Internet. And the guy says, okay. And he pulls out an Ethernet cable and hands it to him. The guy says, oh, well, the ports in our house, these won't work on them because it's an Ethernet cable port, but it's really narrow. And so we need an adapter, a different cable or an adapter. And the guy at the tech shop says, yeah, I don't think your apartment's wired for Ethernet. That's not going to work. It's like, but do you have an adapter for it? No. And so they kind of walk off, and I walked up to the guy at the tech store, and it's like, were they just confused on what a phone jack was? He's like, yes. I'm like, okay, just making sure.
Is Andy sad, Andy, now?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. It does. We'll talk about phone jacks. Reminds me of a stupid thing that happened in a stupid movie. I think it was Lava Tarantulas or Lava Lantulas. It was one of the sci-fi films. Just one of the goofy, you know,
Zappity.
No. It also shows how old you are too. So you know that phones, when they're plugged into just a regular phone jack, you get power. Even if you're out of power, a lot of times that you'll have power through the phone lines.
Yeah. If it's a corded phone.
If it's a corded phone. Yeah. So you'll have power through it.
Yeah, you have a voltage across two of the lines on RJ11.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of cool for a moment when a bad sci-fi film, which is Lava Lantulas, I think that's what it was called, had power go out because there was earthquakes and such. Power goes out in the area. And they had a person using a corded phone to call up their friend who they were talking on the other phone, and they were complaining because their power is out too. But she was talking on a uncorded phone or cordless phone.
That would be the way the language works. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was odd. It was. I thought it was impressive that they knew about that, and then immediately that dashed all hopes of anything smart in that film, other than lava tarantulas.
Anyways, what's the other question?
The other question. I think I closed it already.
Damn it, Andy.
That's how I do it. You get a cameo in a movie and you can only tell them what they're doing wrong. What film, what do you say?
Well, it's Dune and everything. I'll come back around. I'll have an actual answer.
Wait, repeat the question. You
get a cameo in a movie and you can only tell them what they're doing wrong. What film and what do you say? So I'll
also go with any movie involving hacking to say, no, it's not this exciting.
I mean that's
television show. I mean, there's like a great montage of stupid shit. And
yeah, that was because I mean, when I,
that one CSI one where they're like happy to be writing VB code.
My favorite CSI one was the one that was like, we're getting hacked. I'll help you. And they both get on the keyboard at the same time.
One
keyboard don't work.
When I hung out at the game shop in Kentucky, there was a surgeon that played there, and we would have arguments over whose career was less accurately portrayed in media. And I think it was an episode of CSI. He's like, okay, you win.
There's an amazing hacking incident that happened on Scorpion, where somebody. There was a plane that had like some bad data on it or something like that, and they had to transfer some data over to the plane, but they couldn't do it any other ways other than have the plane flying close to the ground and having somebody Ethernet hook up to it while riding in a car and then transfer the data that way. I couldn't remember if they were trying to get data to the plane or data off the plane.
I mean, that's not the dumbest thing I've heard.
I mean, plane avionics are not wirelessly accessible wirelessly.
Correct. Yeah.
So
like I said,
that
one is bad, but plausibly bad.
I mean, it's plausibly bad that
also,
they
also data transfer rates and whatnot.
The issue there is that the solution is to have somebody on the plane with a laptop get the data to or from the laptop and then connect directly to the avionics. Plugging in directly to the avionics in mid-flight is a harrowing experience. but there's no reason to have the cable going to a car below.
Yeah.
And I will say is that it's like strangely one of the best movies for realistic hacking is The Matrix, because they actually run in-map. In the hacking scene, Trinity actually loads up in-map.
Yeah, the hacking scenes in Matrix 1 are actually like legitimate. Like, this is how you hack people.
Yeah, and I mean, and of course, this was one of the criticisms of it is that people that weren't familiar with it had no idea what was going on. But I mean, when Trinity pulls up a command prompt and it runs in map.
It's a great depiction of hacking. Neo falls asleep at his computer, waiting for something to come back in 5 hours.
Yeah,
I thought it was when you put something on their computer and they accidentally type in their password and then you get their password. That's hacking, right?
I mean,
that's a way of doing.
Well, I mean that's hacking. That's now. Don't forget. Yeah. I mean, The Matrix was '99 when you actually had to work to get into people's systems.
Right. I don't consider somebody just giving their password off to somebody else is considered hacking.
No, that's that's how hacking works.
Yeah, correct. I mean, that's how you hack things now. Yeah. You have realized that security software is good and people are idiotic.
But I mean, that's always how hacking has worked. It's just easier now.
When somebody says like my WoW account got hacked, it's not that your WoW account got hacked. It's you were an idiot and gave away your password.
Yeah.
The other movie
that was good for hacking was Sneakers, which was like
95
with Dan Aykroyd, and It
but was, it had a whole slew
of yeah, it had yeah. A whole bunch of people, and I mean, it was. I mean, there was some creativity with some of the hacking stuff that goes on.
But, well, that one was early enough. That was cliche defining instead of cliche following.
Yeah, but I mean, this was. What the people did in sneakers is what you could see a military grade hacking team doing. They were doing stuff that was a lot riskier than a typical hacker would. Sure. But they were doing a lot of shit the way you would actually get into stuff. I mean, especially the bit where they've got the guy going down underground to fuck with the cables, because that's one of the things you do if you seriously need to hack something.
I thought you were going to talk about like the scene in Jurassic Park when she goes into the virtual realm and then goes into here and there, because she knows how to work that. Or The Net. That was the other amazing film about... No, you're not agreeing with that?
No. I'm trying to think of... There's another one, too. Yeah, Swordfish is the other.
Yeah, I'm mentioning a whole bunch of bad films that...
It turns out basically all hacking movies are wrong.
Yeah, as I said, that's it. The Matrix and Sneakers are the only ones I can think of that I can actually say that, yeah, that's a reasonable depiction of hacking.
The rest of them have realized that either A, actual hacking is boring, or B, have been asked not to show actual hacking for various reasons.
I mean, real hacking, the way it is you call somebody that has a password and you ask for it, and then you are creative about how you ask for it. That is hacking. That is how hacking works.
Or you just say your Gmail and then John Podesta clicks on your link. But
yeah. Well, I mean that's the same thing asking for someone's password.
I know, but that wasn't creative. I mean, it's still just annoying that he fell for it.
The other trick is if you look up, there's a Wikipedia page for this, which is called Rubber Hose Cryptanalysis.
Okay,
and I mean, cryptanalysis is often decoding encrypted stuff, and it's often used as a fancy word for hacking, because realistically, that's a lot of what you're trying to do. And the idea behind rubber hose cryptanalysis is you find someone who knows the password, and you beat them with a rubber hose until they give you the password.
Okay,
yeah, I mean, this is also the closely tied to black bag cryptanalysis,
the Russian way,
where you bring the bag in, set it on the table, and you pull out all sorts of things.
You bring the person in the bag.
Black bag is when you sneak into the building where the computers are with a black bag, put the computers in your black bag and take it home.
Okay, yeah.
Because this is sort of like the cautionary tale of building security systems, is that it's like, okay, and it's like there is a certain level of security that if it is easier to kidnap someone and beat them until they tell you the secret, your security, there's no point in improving your security at that point.
Sure. Yeah, man, there's so many movies that Hollywood gets wrong about things that they don't normally venture into. You figure they would be able to go and pay some expert or somebody in there to...
They're in a self-sustaining loop, though, because... the movie going public expects some of these tropes at this point.
Yeah.
So when they are shown test footage of them doing stuff the right way, they either A, find it boring, or B, think it's wrong because they're so exposed to the trope.
God, there was something recently.
This is the conversation we need Nathan for to properly explain.
Yeah.
I seriously sometimes just want to write a screenplay of a movie about actual hacking. I mean, just sort of a dark comedy about it.
Sponsored by Doritos.
Yeah, Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. I've got nothing else to say.
I think we've drained that one. So
yeah, and that was the two. I can double check on Twitter. You guys can vamp, but you guys are just going to stare at me looking at the screen.
Well, I mean, the last time we let you do something involving the screen, Nathan's brother became a mod.
Well, no, I'm not actively trying to mess with the. With the chat at all. I'm just double checking with here. There is a response on chat.
Oh shit.
Whoa.
Any thoughts on Gale Force 9 Dune tabletop game? Okay. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Gale Force 9 is coming out with a
New game property. Given that all we know is what's in that question, I have no thoughts at this time.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's going to be. I mean, if it's going to be part of the Dune slash Twilight Imperium general design.
Well, like I said, as far as I know, unless they've announced something else, all we know is Gale Force 9 has the rights to make a new Dune game.
Yeah, and basically everything that Gale Force 9 has touched, in my belief as a board game property, has been pretty solid.
Yeah. What have they done?
Firefly. Sons of Anarchy. Yep. There's another one.
Well, here, I should probably...
I just click on the damn link.
Yeah, that's what I did. Star Trek Ascendancy.
Oh, never mind.
Doctor Who. You didn't like Star Trek Ascendancy?
It was okay.
Sons of Anarchy is good. Spartacus is really good. Mm-hmm.
I see you glossed over that one.
Which one?
The far right.
Is that
Family Guy?
Yeah, I didn't even know that there was a board game for the Family Guy. Yeah, Frank Herbert's Dune.
It looks like just generic ad copy.
Yeah, it doesn't really say. It's produced original tabletop games. They haven't really said what they're doing with it.
Correct. I will be more interested when it comes out. My guess is they're probably going to release it soon, or tied in somewhat to the timeline of the new movie.
Probably, so, or before it.
Yeah, so we have a year.
Yeah, I mean, Sons of Anarchy is really good. I'm surprised at the... Well, I mean, the show ended, so isn't really much else to do with the game, but it's a solid...
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy is solid. Firefly is really good, and they keep on coming up with new content for that one.
Also, I'm glad Sons of Anarchy ended, because I never actually watched it. But there was a span of time where I got tired of just randos telling me I looked like Opie.
You look just like Opie.
Hit him with the chair. Hit him with the chair.
So, Sons of Anarchy, entertaining show, but it... Oh, Jesus, are you...
But with the chair.
It really kind of ran. It really became very soap opera, but there was a lot of good, great sequences in there too. It ended decently.
That ended like shortly before I moved up here. But there was a span of about a year that it was like every week some rando would like come up to me. It's like, oh, do you watch Sons of Anarchy? No. It's like you look just like Opie. I'm like, okay, that means nothing to me.
I'll keep that in mind for our next game. I'm not above using that kind of thing. All right.
Yeah. So I just brought up a picture of Opie, and yeah, right. if Dave had a shorter beard, and maybe a little bit more hair on top,
yeah,
he'd be an Opie. I don't know. The show is fine. I am kind of excited for Mayans, and that's the new version of the show. I like the writer for Sons of Anarchy. I mean, he brought us The Wire. I think he did. I hope he did. I thought Kurt Sutter was. Anyway, we should get to recommendations.
Yep. I got nothing, so I recommend you call David Opie.
Oh.
I'm going to recommend...
Well, The Shield is what he wrote. I was wrong on there. I was on the wrong cop drama. Kurt Sutter wrote The Shield.
I'm going to recommend Dead Cells.
Fucker, I was going to recommend Dead Cells.
Okay, I'll recommend...
Yeah, I'll recommend Dead Cells.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll recommend playing the purple tree on Dead Cells.
Tactics?
Tactics, yeah.
Yeah. Tactics is pretty good. If you really want to go down... What?
That is the Wisconsin recommendation right
yes.
now.
Yes, oh, Jim flood recommends insurance. Flood insurance.
Yeah. And I'm lucky I'm still raining outside. I want to see somebody actually try to go with the survival...
Right. I actually have been taking that a decent amount, just because it's always like 60% health.
I mean, yeah. So far it's like I think the game I'm in the clock tower when I had to quit to make dinner tonight, but I was like 3-10-3, and I just have been going heavily on purple. But I keep noticing there are a couple of useful things that are green, like the broadsword is fun, and
it's so slow.
Yeah, but it hits so hard.
It hits so hard, but I've run into issues too where I've gone up to things with this broadsword and I'm in mid swing as
they die.
The bombardiers are throwing shit at me.
Yeah. The lightning bolt is green, and that is, I mean, of course, I find that either when I'm playing, either I go full brutality and just have a fast melee weapon and just bounce around and murder everything, or I have as one weapon something that freezes and then a slow weapon to kill stuff. And a lot of the slow weapons that kill stuff seem to be green, but
I could see if in a purple build, if I was taking like the ice blast with if it was a legendary, like one of the big heavy weapons.
Yeah. I did well with a legendary spear for a while.
Spear's pretty awesome.
But yep. I mean, regardless, I will always take a freeze weapon, regardless of if it's on spec or not, just because it's so useful.
Yeah. It shuts down the concierge like no one's business.
Yeah.
Also shuts down. Oh, you're in the clock tower. Have you gotten past the clock tower?
Yeah, I have before.
Okay, so you've passed the clock dude.
Yeah, but I mean the problem with doing anything other than purple is like basically for the bosses with purple, it's like, okay, I drop my traps and now I dodge and the boss just dies.
Yeah, conjunctivitis is kind of annoying. Have you taken on him yet?
I have beaten the guy in the clock room, but that's the furthest boss I've got.
So conjunctivitis is your path to another. I don't know if it unlocks a blacksmith, but he is.
I've already unlocked the blacksmith.
Okay, so I believe he unlocks one of the. I think the wall walking power.
Okay.
Or I don't remember which ones. I played that game for like almost 100 hours already.
Yeah.
But he travels around the board, mm-hmm. So it's kind of difficult to use traps with him. So you either have to end up using Barnacle, or using something that can shoot around. But he doesn't come down to your traps. So he's actually kind of difficult to fight when you're running full purple.
Eventually, my strategy will pay off.
Just get double Barnacle?
I mean, that could work too. Actually, what I am really interested in doing, I think you were telling us last week that the Twitch integration allows viewers to then pick your specs.
Viewers to do things with your character, yep. Mm-hmm.
That actually sounds really intriguing.
Yep.
So I might actually have to get that going at some point.
Yeah, my PC can't handle Twitch right now. I have to turn it off and get a new computer, which I haven't gotten yet. So. All right, some more Dead Cells talk.
Yep.
Should go play it. It's $25. I was wrong last week. Oh. I didn't.
It's mean to totally worth it.
Yeah.
And when you see Nathan, make sure you thank him to say, you know, like, "Oh man, I."
He was the prophet.
Thank you so much.
He backed in an early access like a year ago.
Yeah, for recommending Dead Cells, and I'm so glad that Andy reminded me about it.
Don't do it the other way around.
No.
He's a little sore about us jumping onto the Dead Cells train a year after he recommended it.
He was right. He was just early.
Yeah. He was right, and he was early access. And to be perfectly honest, and the way I said it in our little group chat too, is like, I don't like platforming games on a PC because I want to play those type of games with a controller.
I know. Well, and that was the thing. It was the same price on Steam or PS4, but one of those two required me to buy a controller, and the other one didn't.
Correct.
Yep. The other one just means I have to kick the toddler off the TV. Which is still less painful.
You should have just got a Switch, then you could be playing it with your toddler on the TV.
I don't need a Switch just for one.
You game. Need a Switch.
Yeah. What else am I going to play on the Switch?
Super Mario Odyssey.
Eh.
Diablo 3.
I already own 3 copies of it.
Yeah, so. But this is just one extra copy.
Do I look like Nathan?
Hollow Knight?
Well, you're not using his mic.
Though, exactly. So I don't need another copy.
Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, Octopath Traveler. That's only available for Switch.
Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight, yeah, that's another great game.
Zelda.
Legend of Zelda. It's
not Ocarina or Majora's Mask, so I don't care.
You haven't messed with the new one? It's really good, too.
I mean, I've heard good things about it. It's just I like my small subset of Zelda games, and I'm good.
Rainbow Rabbids? Rabbids versus Mario?
Eh. This is all time I could be making curry.
You could be playing Mario Kart 8.
But it's not the 64 version.
You could play the 64 version levels in it.
Okay. All right. That's at least better.
Unfortunately, our chat doesn't allow links, and Jim made a link. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll be back next week, I hope.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Nathan will not be back next week. So I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to maybe see if we could record one during the week or something.
We'll figure something out, or you can see us next week on Sunday as we struggle for more content.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we'll try doing something during the week that will produce content.
Fine.
I mean,
I'll go rob a bank.
I mean, I did. It's still in the. I still have to produce it, but I did see the Happy Time Murders.
How was it?
It was exactly what you would expect.
Terrible.
out of Muppet porn. You do get to see...
Yeah.
You do get to see, unfortunately, a Muppet's clitoral hood.
Okay.
Thank you for watching Criminal System, episode 248. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.